Do you need answers? Is there a need for a true spiritual and prophetic encounter with God? Join Dr. Candace Smitherman and various relevant prophetic voices from around the world. Become enlightened as we walk down the true road to an authentic spiritual encounter. You will experience the glory of God with Dr. Candace and the Glory Roadshow.
How do we live in the realms of the ascension? Okay. And I want to help you get some terminology straight. So ascension realms also means seated with God in heavenly places. It means taking your citizenship in a realm of faith. Okay. It's a realm of faith. It's not a moment of faith. See, there's a difference between I have a moment of faith, I have enough faith for this moment, versus walking and living in a realm where faith becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, faith isn't just a momentary thing. Like, I have a need, so I want to have enough faith for that to be met. But then everything in our life exists within a realm of faith. Now, within this realm is the goodness of God. Is his beauty, is everything that was in the Garden of Eden that when they were kicked out, basically, and the curse came upon them, and they had to toil in the earth, and we are the generations of the toil, basically, that through Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we've been now properly positioned back in the Garden of Eden, which is just like being in the realms of the ascension. So the garden and the ascension are equal. Okay, so let's get our terminology straight. So when we talk about God redeems all things, he takes us back to the garden, but it's equivalent to the church being seated with Christ in heavenly places. In the culture of heaven is nothing missing, nothing broken, shalom, peace. There's no tears there. There's no buying and selling. Everything that we need is available to us. That culture is supposed to be made manifest in the earth now. It's not supposed to be something we wait for when Jesus returns. We're supposed to be developing that culture here as kingdom ambassadors, that when Jesus returns, he steps immediately into the fullness of the redemption that he already paid for. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's go to some scriptures to help wrap our head around this, and I think we're going to take some questions today.
Yeah, we will in a bit.
So in Hebrews chapter 4, we'll see about your participation. So begin to start saying, Lord, how can I participate today? Okay. Let me tell you why that's so good is because you're going to remember the things that you participated in, that God spoke to you about stepping into.
Or that, you know, you hear from your brothers and sisters today. That's
yes.
So important. It'll give you a reference point.
It is. Because we want the fullness of God, right? And no human, right? No human minister carries the fullness of God. It's collectively that we step into the fullness of God, right? So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Okay, this is the rest that was promised in the book of Hebrews to those that believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall just like the Israelites did in the desert when they lacked belief in what God was doing, okay? So we want to step into a realm of faith where rest and peace are a part of our everyday life. Now, that word rest, when it says let us labor, okay, labor sounds like that's a lot of work, okay? But it really means to just speedily be prompt, to be diligent, to make it a part of our existence in life. So it's not a labor as in a toil. It's a labor as in we're going to till. There's a difference between tilling and toiling. Okay, to till in the garden means we're getting things set up for a harvest. But to toil means our bones are brittle and we're weak and we've run dry, okay? That's part of the curse of the fall of man, but Jesus redeemed all that. So our job is to be tillers, not toilers. So when in Hebrews chapter 4, it says to enter into his rest, to labor to enter into this, we are to come into a place of rest, which means it's the Greek word katapausis. It means to rest in the abode of God. And then it's broken down to another Greek word, katapau, which means to colonize. We're called to colonize rest. Okay, now that should make sense to you, right? Because we know that, you know, England tried to colonize right here in Africa, right? Okay, so we can understand the colonization of the Brits as they went all throughout the world. They began to start to colonize in certain areas, whether we wanted them or not, right? They were there, okay? So we're called to colonize or make a new place to live that resembles or fulfills the abode of God. So my question to you today is, are we doing that? You're shaking your head now. Are we doing that? Are we colonizing as members of the kingdom, the abode of God in the earth? And if we're not, maybe it's not because we don't have a desire to do it. Maybe we just lack understanding on what does the abode of God look like? How can that be made manifest in the earth in its fullness and completeness? Or we look at ourselves and we say, I'm only one person here, okay? How can this be happening? How can this be made manifest? We look at our own weaknesses. We look at things that we might have done or we might be doing that is right or not right. And we get confused. Instead of resting on what Jesus has done and knowing that he's bought all of that fullness for us and he's given us everything we need to colonize, he's now asking us to colonize this abode of God.
So, to kind of help understand this abode of God, this colonization, I want to jump to two places, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, so that we can understand, like, I think a lot of times we're confused on what our assignment is. So, in Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, I think we get a direct line from God. He tells Moses, this is what I want you to tell the Israelites. Okay, he says, you know what I did for you. You know you were slaves in Egypt, and I brought you out, and now you're like, you know, you're flying like wings on eagles. And he goes, if you will obey my covenant, this is the part we got to, do you understand? He goes, you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. That's what the word of God says. And he says, you shall be. This is talking to you now because we're grafted in. We're grafted in as Gentiles into the root. The root was the Jew, but Gentiles are grafted in. Means we're coming alongside of them, okay? So the scripture says here in verse 6, you shall be for me a kingdom of priests. You. Like, you may not look at yourself as a priest. You may not look at yourself as a fivefold ministry person like we did the hand last night. God looks at each one of us as a priest, okay? And he says, a holy nation. Now, that's what he said. I want you, Moses, to tell that to the Israelites. I want you, Adam and Candace, to remind the people this is who they are in God's eyes. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen people. Now, that's in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, I think it's referenced other times throughout the Bible, but there's a specific one I want to point to, and it's when God is here in the flesh. And it's right before he ascends. He's been here. He's been living here. He gets crucified. He dies. He's buried. He resurrects. And the last thing, according to the book of Matthew, the end of chapter 28, the last things he says is, hey, all of this is mine. I'm going to go to the Father now, and I'm delegating it to you. I'm delegating it to you. Now, we read in other parts of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, don't you know you're a royal priesthood? Ah, the same thing that God, okay. So in the old and the new, remember, the old is the new contained, and the new is the old explained. The New Testament is contained in the Old Testament, and the New Testament explains the Old Testament. Remember, the New Testament wasn't around when they were doing the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. So they're referencing the Torah, the Septuagint, as it's called in the Greek, the first five books of the Bible, the Psalms, the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, okay? The Proverbs, this is what they had. And they're explaining them in the New Testament. So Jesus is telling the guys, here's the deal. I want you to go around and spread this news that I've taught you. The people receive salvation, they get baptized, water baptized. And then he goes, teaching them all things. Not just salvation, teaching them all things I taught you. Why? So that you can convert your nation into a sheep nation and not have it be a goat nation. Because Jesus talks about the sheep nation and the goat nation when he comes back. He's going to go, those there's going to be on my right hand is going to be sheep nations, which is the good part. And then goat nations on the left part, which is the bad part. Why? Because if you know your word of God, there's a reason for this. This part right now is training for reigning. This little dash that's on every gravestone is the part that he trained. Because when we leave here, as a born-again Christian, you're not dead. See, that's why you need to be born twice, and then you'll only die once. But if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. I know you're getting this. This is very important what we do here, because he's watching us, apparently. He's taking like every word we're saying, he writes it down. Oh, man, we got to be careful with our tongues. But he's watching how we steward our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony. So when Candace is talking about this, how we live, I think, again, I like to say this. We got to grasp. There's a little bit more going on here than maybe what we think. In other words, when we gather together, it's a little more serious. We should come here with a little more expectancy and a little more urgency than I think we do at times. I don't want to throw the law at you or make you feel less than, but I want to try to pick you up. I want to give you a hand up and not a hand out. I want you all, again, to receive something today, to glean something from what you're hearing, how God is using us to remind you, to stir up that Holy Spirit in you, that you can tame your soul to respond to the Spirit's leading so that the Father's will be done. Okay? All right? I get it. I get some of you smiling at me, some of you nodding your heads. I think this is starting. You got to see, we got to grasp this, that there's, and each one of us individually forms the body. Each one of us, using our giftings, that should be every day we can go, well, now I know I ought to do something. We shouldn't be waking up going, what am I supposed to do today? No, you just heard, the assignment is you're a royal priesthood. To do what? To make sure your sphere of influence wherever you go, because where you go, you're what? The temple, and you're containing what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's where it resides. So you're supposed to ooze that out. You get a little empty, you go fill it back up. How do you do that? You go spend time alone with the Father. You can't glean it off your friend or your spouse. You got to spend time, and each of you do that a little differently. I say this everywhere I go. I try to say this, is guys don't necessarily do it that same way that's kind of sitting down, you know, getting your prayer closet thing. The prayer closet thing is a great thing to talk about, but it doesn't mean your prayer closet. Your prayer, like being in a building. And a prayer closet can also mean outside on a walk on the beach. A prayer closet can also mean up on a tree stand hunting. A prayer closet can mean you're out for a walk. A prayer closet can be you're splitting wood by yourself. Guys, you get that? Because guys don't learn the way females learn. We do not learn very well being sedated and sitting. This nonsense of 20 and 30 years ago telling the young boys, at least in America, that they've got a learning disability and they have ADHD is a nonsense and a trick of the devil. Little boys need to be little boys. And guess what? They're bobcats. This guy tells a great story about he has a daughter. And his friend had a son. And he said, he'll watch the son. You know, because one time the guy watched his daughter. And he said, man, your daughter is great. You know, and they're about 8 years old. And little girls, man, you give them a coloring book or a book or something. They'll just sit. And they'll do that. A little boy, he'd rather have his eye taken out with a dull spoon than sit like that. So he called this little boy. He goes, oh, my gosh, the kid comes over and the dad leaves. He's a bobcat. I don't even know where he is. He's under the table. He's in the wires. He's everywhere. That's just the deal. There's a difference between boys and girls, right? I may be stating the obvious, but trust me. There are people that think that's wrong, and so what did they do? They gave drugs to the boys and told them, you got to sit. I know I did not do very well in school. You want to know why? Because I couldn't sit. I didn't do well. It was boring to me. I didn't like it. I know a lot of men in this situation right now looking at me are like, man, he knows what I'm feeling. I haven't liked church at times. Well, to be blunt, the way the Western world set up church is for females. Not for males. It's the truth. A lot of guys, and people are laughing, and she's like, well, I'm telling you. So we learn differently, and men usually need to work with their hands. They got to be active, and they'll get involved. They'll get involved. You know, I like to read. And so, you know, and as I've gotten older, I'm not as active, etc. But I just want to share that because we each have different gifts and talents. And it ain't going to be the way your neighbor is. Don't expect that. So that you can live this life to the fullest because you want to please the Father. You want to please the Father.
That's good. So,
that's good. I was enjoying it so much, I just thought I'd put down the microphone. Okay. So this means we have to understand how to apply our faith even to our genders, you know, who we are as male and female. And how is it that God wants us to help build his abode, to colonize his abode in the earth? What we do know is that we need to shift in our minds to what is this place, this heavenly culture that we're supposed to bring into the earth, okay? So whether you're male or female, or whether you're, you know, hunting to have your relationship with God, or whether you're sitting down and coloring, whatever that looks like, we still are required to live in a realm of faith. Now, let me explain a little bit more about this realm, okay? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. We actually verse 7. So, you know, Jesus says, listen, I'm here now. The kingdom of heaven is now at hand. We talked about this last night. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Freely you have received, now freely give. Okay, and last night I mentioned that giving was striking the ground. It's doing something in the ground. But something needs to happen before you give something. You have to receive something. See, a giver can't give unless they have something to give. So our problem isn't necessarily our giving, it's our receiving. Our receiving is the issue. See, we're not necessarily sure what it is that God is giving us that we're called to pass on. Sure, he gives us our spiritual, he gives us our personality. We're put in a certain family. We're put in a certain environment. We're given various spiritual gifts. But we need to position ourselves to be receivers first and then givers. So we need to find out what's blocking our receiving. What is it about ourselves that we feel like we can't receive certain things? What are some of the things in our mind that says, you know, I just can't receive that from God because of whatever. I can't receive that from someone else because of whatever, all right? Only you all know what your blockages are in the area of receiving. Many times we're blocked in our receiving because we lack faith in the goodness of God. Okay, now how might that be true? Okay, so we know in Numbers chapter 13, what did God do? But he told Moses to send over the 12 spies into the land. And then the spies were to come back with a good report about how great this land was, that there was going to be, you know, pomegranates and milk and honey and, you know, the grapes were huge and all this great stuff, right? And they did. They saw that. They went over there and they saw that. But they also saw something else when they were over there. They saw that the giants were too big. But they missed a key thing because God spoke to them and said, listen, God spoke to Moses and said, send the guys over there because I want to give you the land. Right? And so they missed the blessing because they missed hearing God say, I want to give you this land. Instead, all they saw was themselves and not the greatness of God and what he wanted to give them. Folks, we have the same problem today. God is saying, I want to give you some things, but you have a receiving problem. And your receiving problem is you, first off. Because when God says, I want to give this to you, you'll look at everything around you to determine whether or not God really wants to give that to you or not. God says, I want to give this beautiful thing to you. And you say, I can't afford that beautiful thing that you want to give me. Thank you very much, Lord. Why don't you pass that off on someone else? And God's saying, wait a minute, I didn't ask you if you had enough money for that beautiful thing. I said I wanted to give it to you.
Right.
But you came back to me and you told me that you didn't have enough for that thing. He's like, that's not what I asked you. He says, I deal in a realm of faith. So if I'm saying I want to bless you in this area, can you step into my realm and my desire to give and begin to believe me for what your smallness tells you you can't have? This is the culture of heaven versus the culture of earth. We were strongholded by Satan in a curse to think that God doesn't want to give us anything. And then when God says, I'm going to give you my precious son to remove the curse, so that now you can live freely in a realm of everything that I want to give you. We then come back to God and say, well, that's not enough because don't you know I still am lacking X, Y, and Z. And he says, then you haven't learned redemption. He says, because redemption exists in a realm of faith. He says, I have redeemed all things, but why do you believe that? Because I say it, not necessarily because you see it. Can somebody help me in this place? See, the words of Jesus Christ and the acts of him coming into the earth and meeting the requirements of the law written by God and the Jewish people, as stated, that there should be a Passover lamb that should come and should die, and this is all in the book of Hebrews, should meet all the requirements of the law, all the requirements of the heavenly tabernacle, and go up and put his blood on the mercy seat and declare that it is finished. At that moment, what Jesus did is he catapulted us past the realm of the law into a realm of complete and total freedom. But our problem is we can't grasp freedom. This is the problem of the Israelites, which is why it took them 40 years to be in the desert, is they had to learn that God was a giver. The desert is not about the difficulties for 40 years. It's about the greatness of God and how he wanted to bless them. Stop reading the 40 years in the desert like it's this terrible experience for the Israelites because they didn't make it to the promised land. These folks didn't have to work. Have you guys read the Bible? They got up every day and they had manna in their front yard. With a very small instruction, only to pick up a certain amount and not to take too much because it was going to rot.
Don't hoard it.
Don't hoard it. Why? Because guess what? God wanted to show what a great giver he was. He was going to give them enough tomorrow. They didn't even have to kill the quail. It was right there in the front yard. They just had to go out and grab it around its neck and take it in and put it in a pot. They had the clothes of Egypt upon their backs. They never wore out. Shoes never wore out. Yet we hear the terrible theological stories of the Israelites and how they had a tough time in the desert. I'm sorry, your desert experience is just to show you how much God is a giver. I know you're approaching life from the desert going, this is terrible, I'm in the wilderness. I want to say to you, praise God if you're in the wilderness. Because if you can lift up your hands and say, Lord, show me everything you want to give me in the wilderness, you're about to go to next levels.
Are you ready to step into kingdom advancement and prosperity? Join Apostle Adam and Dr. Candace Smitherman from Dream Mentors International, USA, as they impart powerful biblical principles to transform your life and nation.
When God sees, he sees what he can bring about. He sees what he can pull from death and make a life.
Discover how to renew your mind, will, and emotions in times of chaos.
Jesus says, I'm at the right hand, Father, and I overcame. You're supposed to be an overcomer too. And how do you do that? You got to look like, you got to walk like that.
Yes.
I am an overcomer,
yes,
and I believe it.
Understand your God-given assignment and how to fulfill it. Recognize the enemy's tactics and learn to stand firm in covenant blessings. Experience supernatural breakthroughs in healing, prophecy, and miracles. Learn how to operate in angelic realms, kingdom prosperity, and divine authority. This is more than a gathering. It's a faith activation for leaders and believers who want to walk in their full destiny. Bring your teams and join us for this life-changing experience. Dr. Candace Smitherman is an apostolic revivalist, founder of Dream Mentors International, and host of the Glory Road TV broadcast. She has been featured on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural and other major networks. Dr. Adam Smitherman is a biblical life coach trainer, retired U.S. Navy commander, and co-founder of Freedom Destiny Church. He is also the host of the Manifest His Presence podcast. Don't miss this divine appointment. Your breakthrough awaits.
You've been watching The Glory Road with Dr. Candace Smitherman. She can be seen all over the world. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, plant a seed in the ground. You can support by going to CandaceSmitherman.com. Remember, all donations are tax deductible.